Over 131 feet beneath the streets of this Polish city lies a hidden world. A vast underground waterway that was once one of the most important pieces of industrial infrastructure in Europe. Forgotten for decades, it was accidentally rediscovered during a routine construction project, shocking even the locals. But here's the strangest part. In its prime, this underground network was connected to a series of canals that stretched across Europe, linking to the Baltic Sea and beyond. This wasn't just a marvel of local engineering, it was a gateway to the world. So, how did something so vital fall into complete obscurity? And what stories are buried at its great depths? Stay tuned to find out, as today we uncover the history of the Queen Louisa Adit. I'm your host, Ryan Sokash, and you're watching It's History on Location. The story of this adit begins in the 19th century, when the region was part of Prussia, a rising industrial power driven by an insatiable hunger for coal, the lifeblood of the Industrial Revolution. Silesia, as the area is known, sits on some of the richest coal deposits in Europe, hence it quickly became a mining hotspot, fueling factories, railways, and entire cities. This is what powered the Industrial Age, and it would be during this period that engineers embarked on an ambitious project, carving out elaborate underground networks of canals, waterways meant not only to drain the mines, but also to serve as freight routes, connecting the coal fields of Europe to a vast canal system and markets beyond. But to help us better understand the secrets of this underground marvel, I met up with Mateusz Nowoczynski, an expert who knows these tunnels better than anyone.
They start to build an adit, as I mentioned, in 1799. And when you take a look on the photograph, this is the place when in 1799 they started to build. And when you take a look on those two buildings in the background, on the front, you can see that those two buildings exist in our times.
Now, what is that inscription on the entrance to the portal mean?
It's written Glück auf, which is a simple mining greeting. We can translate it like God bless. In Polish is Szczęście Boże. This is the same greeting like we say nowadays, hello, good morning. 1791, this is the year when Queen Louisa mine was started excavation. The tools, the hammer and pickaxe, which are cross. This means that this is coal mining company. And the crown above the tools, that means that the adit and mine is ruled by Prussian king, so it's ruling by the state.
So after establishing this network's history, we descended to an underground harbor to board a boat and depart on a voyage 40 meters under the city. And as we began our boat journey under the earth, it was almost as if the walls had stories to tell.
In 1999, we finally found the enter to the adit. Mm-hmm. The project of revitalization, of the restoration of our adit, was finally finished in 2018.
Okay, so this is a very, very new development. So some of those photographs that we were looking at earlier of the renovation were so intense. If I understand correctly, this was filled with like 50 years of mud and sewage and filth.
Yeah.
And you guys actually excavated it by hand. You didn't have power tools. You were loading by shovel into wheelbarrows and walking them out. What was the motivation?
One of the company which was obliged to remove those sewages, those mud from the adit, found or create special machine which grabs the sewages and remove it mechanically. But the machine broke. and the machine was a prototype, so we didn't have another machines to help. So we decided to use a wheelbarrow and a shovel to remove the sewages, the mud.
Are there reports about what the miners experienced down here, what their sentiment was to the work?
Here in Upper Silesian, this is a part of our being. A mine, this is a part of our Silesian heritage, Silesian identity.
How many miles of tunnel are under Zabrze?
we have almost 10 kilometers underground routes, tours open for tourists. Mm-hmm.
So when the men were moving the coal here, how many tons could go in a single boat?
In one boat, we have 4 tons.
And was it a round-the-clock operation? Were there 3 shifts?
When we are talking about the 19th century, mining shift was much, much longer than today. It was 12 years from Monday till Saturday.
12 hours?
Yes.
Yeah.
No day offs, no holidays, no vacation. Even if the miner were sick or ill, they need to go to work. In the past, family was 9, 12, 15 children in the houses. So they have awareness that children can starve.
They had a pretty intense life, I would say, coming down here.
Yeah.
It's so weird that we're coming as tourists to a place where they were actually giving their life.
Yeah. We are having a boat cruise. We are transporting by boat with some source of light. In the 19th century, they didn't have any electricity. So they transport coal with totally darkness. Place of the edit now is slightly bigger.
I can see that.
Because we are here on the crossway under the mill. You remember the Biedronka shop and the bank. So on the surface in the past we have a mill. Now the mill is not exist because it burned at year 2005, but the name still exists.
It's fascinating to imagine how this waterway was used during its prime. Without engines or modern equipment, boats relied entirely on manpower. 2 men would pull the boats along the waterway, using wooden hooks installed on the walls to propel them forward. This was grueling, pitch-dark work, with miners communicating through shouts that echoed down the tunnel, until coming upon a key section, known as Mill Harbor, which acted as a crossing point where lighter boats could wait for the others to pass. And it should also be pointed out that with a modern boat, we can pass through the Adit in under an hour, whereas historically, a full journey with a freight boat would have taken around 7 hours one way, which would have been over half of a miner's typical day shift. A sobering reminder of the sheer effort it took to keep this underground world moving.
Boats full of coal, when we have 12 tons of coal in the boats, it was very hard to stop. Empty boats have a command that they need to stop in the crossway and wait. Now we are in the harbor under the brewery. So you remember the brewery building?
I do.
So we are directly under them.
So an underground harbor in an industrial city, that's something.
Boats would collect their loads from underground harbors, which were bustling hubs of activity. Miners used hand-driven cranks to load buckets of coal onto the boats, preparing them for their long journey to the surface and beyond. These days, the only underground harbor is used for loading people, as the rest of the Adit is mostly dry and is only accessible via foot.
So now we're out of the boat, but we're actually going on where the boats used to pass. I can see there's water under our feet, in fact. It's incredible that even when the Adit is preserved for the use of tourists, it's still a pretty gritty place. It's still, might I even say, a little bit dangerous. And how deep is the water in the Adit?
For the tourists, the water is around 1 meter deep.
Just to clarify, the water is currently around 1 meter deep, whereas previously the depth would have been around 1.5 meters, in order to accommodate boats carrying extremely heavy freight loads.
When you take a look on the left, here you can see some scratches. Those scratches was made by hammer and pickaxe. This is also the proof that the Adit was building by humans' hands.
What year would that have been from?
It started at 1799 and finished the Adit in total, those 40 kilometers per 64 years. They finished in 1863.
So has the town uncovered all of the Adit, or is it believed that there could be more passages that are forgotten?
We still don't know, but the Adit was founded by simple accident.
So the story goes, the kids probably, the people who used to work down here, knew that their fathers worked in an adit, knew that it was under the city somewhere, but no one really knew exactly where.
Exactly.
And it was only in the 1990s, during some routine road work, that this was uncovered. That must have been a monumental moment. And here we come to the fork in the road.
Yeah, now I told you that Edit is one single gallery, but in the half of the 19th century, engineers had a problem with the water, because imagine when we had those 14 kilometer long edit, and between those two mines, between Chorzów and Zabrze, also we have approximately 18-20 private mines, and those private mines put the water to the edit. Imagine how enormous hectoliters of waters was in the edit. So the edit cannot afford such big liters of water. This idea was a solution to fight with those enormous water transport to the edit. The original one, and this is a 50 years younger part.
The further we descended into this long and bizarre tunnel, the more apparent it became that it was only a small part of something much bigger, with the environment's rawness being a key indicator of just how long this place has been forgotten.
Those black line shows the level of the mud. Normally we will be totally covered by the mud. Oh, here is also. So our edit had in the past three functions: remove the water, finding new coal seam, and transport the coal by boats. Mm-hmm. In the past, they didn't have any tools to find the coal. They just randomly drill a hole to estimate.
The word estimate doesn't quite convey the trouble that miners faced when tasked with discovering coal. You see, they originally used black powder to blast into the rock, which was a very dangerous procedure, with perhaps the most grueling part of the task being the excavation of the blast hole, where miners would have to dig with a hammer and chisel for over 9 hours to plant explosives approximately 1 meter deep in the rock, and they'd need to create several such holes per blast. However, by the time dynamite was invented, they could accomplish this same task much faster with the use of pneumatic powered drills, which, in my opinion, were a nightmare in their own right.
All right, that's enough for me. That's actually very scary. Sometimes I have the impression that this just goes on forever.
Another unexpected trace of humanity down here was the graffiti, as miners immortalized their name in the stone so that maybe they could make a little dent in the universe.
It's a funny thing about graffiti.
Yeah.
In the modern, it's trash. But it makes a great historic artifact.
We started our journey right here in the city center of Zabrze, and we approximately right here. So this is our 2.5 kilometer restore edit. And when you observed right here that the edit was much, much longer, 14 kilometer. It connected two mines. Queen Louise Mine is right here, and King's Mine in Chorzów.
We're at the end of the line here. This is where the renovation has finished.
Yeah.
But perhaps for 12 kilometers in front of us, there are abandoned tunnels and mysteries waiting to yet be uncovered.
Of course, they are.
As my experience came to a close, we boarded a suspended monorail that slowly crept its way out of the underground labyrinth. The deafening rumble of its engines echoed through the tunnels, a stark reminder that this is the same type of system still used by real miners in some parts of the world. Sitting there, surrounded by the raw industrial landscape, it struck me. As fascinating as it was to witness this place with my own eyes, it's hard to imagine that for many, this type of environment isn't history. Rather, it's their daily reality.
We're going to leave it there for today. I want to thank you all for watching. If you're ever in Poland, make sure you check out the Coal Mining Museum in Zabrze. And if you'd like to see more material from this episode, visit our Patreon page for an extended cut and behind the scenes. Otherwise, until next time, I'm Ryan Sokesh, signing off.